Well, dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and reading verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And our subject this morning is the meaning of mercy. The meaning of mercy. And we come to these tremendous words in the 18th chapter of Luke. And I will be focusing almost exclusively on this verse, verse 13. And really just on the last part of this verse, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is part of a prayer that is part of a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Of course, the Lord Jesus would speak very often, would teach very often in parables. Parables are an earthly illustration to help us understand spiritual things. The things of God are very deep and very profound at times. So the Lord would use parables. He would use earthly illustrations, things that the people were familiar with and could relate to, in order to teach them spiritual things that were deeper and more profound. And this is one such parable. And in this parable, there are two people praying. One is a Pharisee who is very proud of himself. The Pharisee, of course, they were the holy men of the day, or seen to be the holy men of the day. They were known for their piety, a very pious religious sect, known for their law keeping. They loved keeping the law of God scrupulously. And so this Pharisee is very pleased with himself, isn't he? Because of his law keeping, because he fasts twice in the week, because he gives tithes of all that he possesses in verse 12. And he thanks God that he's not like other men are. He's not like the unjust, the adulterers, or he's not like this publican who is in verse 13, who is praying also and standing afar off. And a publican, what was a publican? He wasn't an owner of a public house, as some people may mistakenly believe. A publican in the time of Christ was a tax collector. And tax collectors, they were looked upon with great contempt because they were seen as traitors. They were Jews who were collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. And so all the Jews hated them. How can you do this to your people? How can you take taxes from your own people for the Romans? And sadly, so many of the publicans, they would charge extra fees and pocket a lot of the money for themselves. They were hated. They were seen as covetous men, as traitorous men. Nobody liked the publicans. And this publican, well, he, by contrast, he seems ashamed of himself. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven as he's praying. And he smote upon his breast, which means he beat upon his chest, an expression of grief and woe and shame. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And these words are my starting point, really, this morning for a great subject, which is the mercy of God. This man, he cries out for mercy. And he does that with good reason because, he seems to have a greater understanding of God than perhaps even this Pharisee does. This Pharisee is very proud of himself, proud of his religious knowledge and his religiosity. But you know, it's actually this publican who has a greater understanding of what God is like and who God is. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knows that God is a God of mercy. And this is our subject this morning, a wonderful subject, speaking of the God who delights in mercy. This is what we read everywhere in Scripture about the Lord, that he is merciful. Moses, in the book of Numbers, declares, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy." That's Numbers 14 and verse 18. Way back in the Old Testament, way back with Moses, the mercy of God is being set forth. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. In Psalm 119 and verse 64, the psalmist writes, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." The whole earth, not just those in Israel, not just those in a church, in this church, the whole earth, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy." That's what the psalmist writes. And indeed, there is a psalm, Psalm 136, some of you will know this, that repeats 26 times, "For his mercy endureth forever." There are 26 verses in Psalm 136. Each one ends, "For his mercy endureth forever." It speaks of his mercy repeatedly. This is something that we must stress about the Lord. And even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, spoke of the God who is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. But what exactly does it mean for God to have mercy, or for God to be merciful? And what does it look like for us? How does it benefit us that God is merciful? How does he show forth his mercy? Well, these will be the things that I want to focus on. We don't very often speak about the mercy of God exclusively and explicitly, but this is a wonderful theme, and I trust that we will be blessed as we hear of the mercy of God. But my first point is this: when we think of the mercy of God and how God shows his mercy, well, the Lord shows his mercy simply by taking an interest in us. Simply by taking interest in us. Isn't it an amazing thing? Isn't it an amazing thing in and of itself that the Lord God has any interest in us at all? Because after all, God is so great, the everlasting God, the Almighty God, the God who is most high, the God who cannot be contained, the God who far exceeds man's highest thought. Why would he have anything to do with us? We are so small by comparison. You will know what David wrote in his psalm, in the 8th psalm, Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4. This is what he wrote, just to remind you. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" So he's thinking about God who's created all things, his majesty, the heavens, the universe. He looks up at the sky, how great the sky is. God has created all of these things. Why would God have anything to do with me? He's so great. He is so amazing, the creator of all things, of space and time, of the universe, the heavens, the sun, the moon. Why bother with us? Why, dear friends? It's because of his mercy. It's an aspect of his mercy. This is where we start this morning. You see, God is not like so many people in this world. There are so many people in this world, they are so high and lofty, are they not? And they wouldn't bother taking any interest in you. They're too high for you. It could be your boss at work or some chief executive at work. You see them afar off. They won't take any interest in you. They are too high. They are the chief. They are too important. I'm too wealthy. Why should I bother with you? You worker. You're just a worker. Why should I bother speaking to you or having anything to do with you? You see the contrast. Men are hard-hearted. Men don't really care, but God is full of compassion. God is full of mercy. He takes an interest in us. He's far greater than any chief executive or any king or any emperor in this world, and yet he is the one who takes an interest because his heart is full of compassion and mercy. This is an aspect of his mercy. Isn't it a wonderful thing? This is the Almighty God whom we read of all the way throughout the scriptures. And so this is how we so often start, or how I so often start in presenting the gospel. Is it not amazing that God is interested in you? Even though you may not be interested in him, you may not even be interested in him, God, the Almighty God, is interested in you. He takes an interest. He wants to know you. He wants to know you personally, because his heart is so full of compassion. Even though he is so great and we are so small, God is full of compassion and mercy and love. He wants to know you. He longs to know you, dear friend. Will you not turn to him? So that is the first aspect of God's mercy, and I trust this is warming your hearts already. God has an interest in us. But the Lord not only has mercy upon us in that way, but he wants to know us to bring us out of our misery. The Lord's mercy, this is my second heading, the Lord's mercy brings us out of misery. Well, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You will all know, or you should all know, that he was the Son of God, equal with the Father. There's one God, but three persons within the one Godhead. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one who came down from heaven to earth. God in the flesh, the incarnate God. He is the Son of God. He's equal with the Father. And one of the evidences that he was truly God, the Son of God, were his healings. He healed men and women and even youngsters with the most terrible conditions, those who were terribly sick, those who were otherwise incurable, the most desperate cases, the ones that everybody else had given up on. The Lord, he saw them, and he not only took an interest in them, he changed them. He wanted to bring them out of their misery, of their miserable state. He wanted to change their condition. And that's exactly what he did. This is his mercy. He didn't just see people in their bad condition and then just leave them. He wanted to do something about it. This is mercy. Not just look, observe, and then walk away. His mercy won't let him do that. His mercy sees the state. He saw the state of all those who were sick, who were desperate. And his mercy said, I must not leave them like that. I must change them. I must heal them. And dear friends, this is the same for us. This is what God's mercy does for us, for all those who trust in him. Without the Lord, well, we struggle, we suffer. Without the Lord, we have many difficulties, we have many struggles, many crises. We live without hope. We live in a fallen world. There's so little hope in this world. When you look around you, there's so little hope of anything ever getting any better. And we suffer and we struggle in these things, in this world. The Lord looks upon you. He wants to bring you out of your suffering. This is his mercy. He doesn't just look upon us and say, well, I don't care. Just leave them in it. He wants to bring us out of our suffering. This is the measure of his mercy. He wants to change you. He wants to heal you. He wants to save you. He is a savior. And so this is the wonderful heart of the Lord. But you must cry out to him, dear friends. This is the next stage. I want to begin to apply this. You must cry out to the Lord. Have you cried out to him? The Lord can see you. The Lord knows your state, your condition. You must cry out to him. You know, on one occasion, during the healings of the Lord, there was a blind man, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. That's what his name meant, Bartimaeus. And when he heard, of course he couldn't see the Lord, but when he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by, he cried out. What did he say? Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You see his cry? Mercy. Have mercy on me, just like this publican. So the Lord sees your state, whoever you are. He sees your suffering. He knows your trials. He knows your doubts, your fears, everything that you struggle with. But you have to cry out to the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me. And he will. He will hear your cry. To blind Bartimaeus, he stopped in his tracks and he commanded him to be brought to him. The Lord, in the same way, he will hear your cry and he will save you from all your distresses. Dear friends, have you cried out to the Lord? He wants to save you. He wants to bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light, save you from this world of darkness. But dear friends, why is this world so dark? Why is this world so full of suffering? Well, it is because of sin. It's because of the sin of the world. And that brings me to my third heading. The Lord shows mercy even toward his enemies. So now we are getting into some deeper applications of the mercy of God. You know, maybe some people in this world will have mercy on others, but it's normally mercy on people that they like or people that they get on with. I will show mercy on people who like me and who show favor toward me. I will show favor to them. The mercy of God shows favor towards his enemies. His enemies. You know, of course, there is the teaching in the scriptures that clearly teaches us we are all enemies against God. This is how we are born. This is how we are by birth, by nature. Our nature is to rebel against God. And we have inherited this nature from our first parents, from Adam and Eve. Remember how they rebelled against God. We're all related to Adam and Eve. The first man, the first woman, of course, we are all related to them. But we have inherited their nature. They rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. The Lord created them and blessed them, put them in a wonderful place, but they broke that one rule that God had established, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. They rebelled against God. And this is why we are like this. We share that same nature, that same rebellious nature by birth. We are born sinners. But if you think upon that account in the Garden of Eden, you see, this was where God first showed his mercy. Where did God first show his mercy? It was in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, well, it would have been right if God had just annihilated them and put an end to their life straight away. It would have been right for him to have done that. They have disobeyed God, the God who gave them everything, gave them their life, gave them all that they have. They have rebelled against God for no reason. It would have been right and just for God to punish them there and then, but he didn't. You see, this was the first act of mercy in the Bible. He showed mercy towards them. And in fact, he promised them that one day there would be a great seed, a child born from the woman's line that would undo all the damage, that would save them. There would be forgiveness. And that was Christ, of course. For Christ's sake, the Lord showed great mercy toward Adam and Eve. And we see this mercy all the way through the Bible, even with Israel. When Moses led the children of Israel out from bondage in Egypt, how did Israel respond? Well, they did not respond well. They rebelled against God in the wilderness. They worshipped the golden calf. They murmured against God. God had every right to disown them. God had every right to destroy them. God had every right to abandon them. But he didn't. He showed mercy. He's so merciful. He showed mercy. Why? Well, again, it was because of Christ. Because through Israel, through their line, Christ would come. It wasn't because of them. It was because of Christ. So you see, God shows mercy. There's a reason why God shows mercy. It's because of Christ and Christ alone. And even in the New Testament, when Christ came, when the Jews attacked Christ, when Christ was betrayed, when Christ was scourged and nailed to the cross, and the Romans were spitting upon him and mocking him, God could have so easily stopped them and destroyed every single one of them, overthrown the Roman army. He could so easily have done that. They would have deserved to have been punished, crucifying the Son of God who had not done anything wrong. Did they not deserve punishment? Of course they did. But God was merciful. Why? Because of Christ. Remember what Christ said? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And God showed mercy, dear friends. This is the mercy of God. He shows mercy toward his enemies. What is my point? Well, dear friends, it's simply this. Are you an enemy of Christ? Are you an unbeliever? Is there anybody listening to this message who does not know the Lord? Well, the Lord has such mercy upon you, even if you don't know him. The only reason you're alive is because of the mercy of God. You have no right to have lived this long. You don't deserve to have lived this long, whoever you are. God has seen all of your sins. God has seen all the times that you have lied, all the times that you have stolen, all the times that you have lusted, all the times that you have hated other people, all the times you have hated God. You don't deserve to have any life. Why are you alive? It's because of the mercy of God. It's because of the mercy of God. And so whether you know it or not, you owe everything to God. You owe everything to Christ. Because it's only because of Christ. He's the reason why God has mercy upon any of us. So that you may know Christ. So that you may seek him. So that you may find him. Why has God preserved your life to this day? God is being merciful to you. God is still giving you time to seek the Lord. While there's yet time to seek his salvation. God's mercy even to his enemies, even to those who hate him. Dear friends, you must turn to the Lord while there is yet time. You must be saved. You must be ready for the day when Christ returns. And that brings me to my fourth point. God's mercy extends help to the helpless. God's mercy extends help to the helpless. Now, I'm going to be very brief with this point. As I've just said, there is a day of judgment coming, and I often say this on the streets, whether you believe in Christ or believe not in Christ, it doesn't matter. There is still a day of judgment coming. The whole earth will stand before God, even if you have died before that day. The dead will be raised and will stand before God. There is a day of judgment coming. Without Christ, you will be helpless on that day. You'll be utterly helpless. There will be no hope for you on the day of judgment. You cannot rely on anything else. You cannot rely on your good works. It's no point saying to yourself, I'm a good person. I've done this, I've done that. This is what this Pharisee was praying, wasn't he? This Pharisee, if we just look just for a couple of moments at this parable once again, is this not the mistake that the Pharisee made? He was coming to God and saying, I'm a wonderful person. I am religious. I fast twice in the week. I give my tithes. God will accept me. But God did not accept him. Who was the one that God accepted? The one who smote upon his breast, beat upon his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Dear friends, this is how you must be. You have to cry for mercy. You have to say to the Lord, I'm helpless. I have no hope on the day of judgment. I can't look to my own works. I'm not going to make this same mistake that the Pharisee made. I'm going to follow the example of the publican. I'm going to say, I'm going to pray, Lord, I'm helpless. There is nothing good in me. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. And he will. He will, because of Christ, for the sake of Christ, because of what Christ has done. Christ has suffered and died in our place. Yes, we have sinned. We have all sinned against God. But on the cross, all of our sins were placed upon Christ. He was our substitute. He stood in our place, condemned. He was our scapegoat. He took the punishment for our sins. In a sense, you can put it this way. God punished him. God showed him no mercy. I've been speaking about the mercy of God toward us. But on the cross, God showed his own son no mercy at all, so that we may be saved, so that we may be forgiven. This is the heart of God, dear friends. Is it not wonderful? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Out of love, God sends his son. And out of love, God the Son, he loved us. He gave himself for us. It's all out of love and mercy for all those who trust in the Lord. Dear friends, these are just very brief meditations on the mercy of God. There's so much more we could say. Let me just close or begin to close with this final exhortation, my final heading. The mercy of God covers all our sins. The mercy of God is abundant, we read. That's what the Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter. It is abundant. It covers all sins. And in Psalm 103, verse 11, we read this, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Dear friends, if I'm speaking to anyone here, you think your sin is too great for the Lord, too great to be pardoned. And well, you may have many sins. You may have a huge mountain of sins. But this is what we learn in the scriptures. Your mountain of sin is never higher than the mercy of God. It's never higher than the mercy of God. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him, no matter what you have done. God's grace is greater and higher. Remember the prodigal son just a few chapters earlier, Luke chapter 15. It is perhaps the most well-known parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn to it, but you know the story, the account full well. The prodigal son departed from his father, rebelled against his father, and he wasted all of his father's money on sin, on riotous living, on living it up, on doing whatever he wanted. And what happened to him? He began to be in need. He realized that living a life of sin is terrible, and he said to himself, "I'm going to go back to my father." And when he went back to the father, how did the father respond? The father would have had every right to punish his son. "Why did you run away? Why did you waste all that money? Why should I even take you back? You've proved yourself to be a rebellious son. You've gone and done your own things. Why should I take you back?" But of course, we read something very different. Even when his son was far off, the father went running to him with compassion and with mercy. This is how God is toward us. No matter how many times you have rejected the Lord and sinned against him and hated him and wasted your whole life in the world, you can still come back to the Lord, because he is merciful and gracious and full of compassion. And so, dear friends, I urge you, there is no reason not to come to the Lord. There is no excuse. All you need to do is follow the example of this publican. just cry to the Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, as the Lord tells you, if you do this, you will be saved. You will be justified. You will be declared not guilty. You will be loved eternally by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is the wonder of the gospel. This is the meaning of God's mercy toward us. May we all know the mercy of the Lord in our own hearts. Turn to him, dear friends. I plead with you this morning.